content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, this is Martha Potter from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Our State Magazine. Today's reading of Our State Magazine is underwritten by Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974 and underwriting this podcast for over 15 years. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. In this episode, we'll dig deeper into the April issue of Our State Magazine and continue with some short articles about modern vintage experiences. This experience is entitled Stay at a Classic Motel, Rhodes Motor Lodge, the Road Well Traveled. A renewed love for mid-century style is seeing new generations of family return to make memories at places like Rhodes Motor Lodge in Boone. In the mid-20th century, Grant Green fell in love with that hill, specifically a rise just off Highway 321 in Boone, where today he recently renovated Rhodes Motor Lodge. The recently renovated Rhodes Motor Lodge welcomes guests for a taste of high country nostalgia. This 54-room, 21st century take on a classic motor lodge began as a simple 12-room property that served as both the family's livelihood and their home. It was called, appropriately, Green's Motel. In 1933, Grant and Ruth Green started their foray into mountain hospitality with a handful of two-room log cabins just down the road at the Grandview Overlook in Deep Gap. In 1953, they opened the Cardinal Motel in Boone, but Grant still had his sights set on that hill, and finally, in 1958, his longtime vision finally came to life. "He built on the hill when I was in college," says his son, Harris Green, now 89. "My daddy always loved that hill. He always wanted to be there." A neon sign promising beauty rest beds, air conditioning, and television beckoned vacationing families and motorists on their way through the mountains to somewhere else. For about $35 a night, they could drive up the hill, park right in front of their room with a stunning view of the Blue Ridge Mountains. "There was no skiing then, so we'd open just for summer, May to Labor Day," Harris recalls, "and it was very much a family business. Daddy and mother and I did 90% of all the cleaning and everything else," he says. "There was one bedroom off the kitchen for Daddy and mother, and I had the room on the other side. And like many other families, the kitchen was their gathering place." The Greens worked round the clock and became close friends with numerous guests, many of whom were repeat visitors from the Midwest. "We'd have people come stay with us a week or two at a time, some who had stayed at these cabins in Deep Gap," Harris said. When the Appalachian Ski Mountain, northwestern North Carolina's first ski area, opened in 1962, his parents started renting a few of their 12 rooms to skiers. Because they weren't right next to the slopes, rooms were around $10 a night during what the Greens considered their off-season. The next year, at age 53, Grant Green died from an aneurysm. To help his mother, Harris commuted a few days a week from Mount Airy. In 1967, he built a second two-story building with balcony rooms rising behind the original motel. The future looked bright. In the 1950s and 60s, motor lodges like Green's Motel were a mainstay for travelers looking for easy access to a clean, reasonably priced room. But as bigger motel and hotel chains offered more amenities at lower prices than the mom-and-pop places, many independent travel lodges like Green's Motel lost customers. By the 1970s, Ruth Green was ready to get out of the travel lodge business, so she sold the motel and retired. Still, she stayed close with several guests, even visiting one in Spartanburg, South Carolina, regularly for years. Various owners ran the property until 2023, when Loden Hospitality opened Rhodes Motor Lodge during a resurgence in popularity for renovated mid-century models. The reinvigorated Rhodes Motor Lodge, its name a nod to the signature rhododendrons that dot the surrounding mountains and also a play on the phrase road trip, has many modern amenities, but Loden has maintained plenty of the motel's original features, like the steel mesh balcony railings that Harris put in and the speckled terrazzo floors that Grant and Ruth installed in 1958. "The places are interesting when they're the mix of polished and imperfect," says Christine McDonald, chief operating officer for Loden, a development, design, and management company in Raleigh. "I think the reason why there's movement on revitalizing older motels is because they have a connection to place. It appeals to a desire to experience authenticity. They have a history and a story." I think it's beautiful, Harris says of the updated motel. They did things I would never have dreamed of, and I think they're wonderful. And I was glad to see they saved some of the tile that we had. It brought back memories. A recent trip to Rhodes Motor Lodge brought back memories for me, too. Reminders of family road trips and vacations across North Carolina in my youth, back when travel lodges ruled. I recall one such trip in 1973 when my parents took my sister and me out of Raleigh's summer heat for a few days in Blowing Rock. While they were glued to the televised Watergate hearings, my sister and I constructed houses out of dresser drawers for our Barbies. Though we were marooned, quote, in our motor lodge, we stayed happily occupied, jumping from bed to bed and playing Mother May I. That was just one memory that returned as I drove up the hill and the reincarnated Rhodes Motor Lodge came into view. Inside, the lobby welcomed me with new hardwood floors, a freestanding mid-century style circular fireplace, a side table fashioned from a smoothly honed section of a tree trunk, and framed needlepoint depictions of a leaping buck and striped bass vintage store finds. Outside, a couple sat in Adirondack chairs around a fire pit, and families played cornhole under strings of light in the courtyard that was once the pool area. We thought about bringing the pool back, but how long can you really use an outdoor pool in Boone, McDonald says. I warmed my boots by the six-foot-long linear fire pit, watching the sunset on the Blue Ridge. When it got too chilly, I retreated back inside the motor lodge for a nightcap from the lobby bar. The next morning, rested and with coffee in hand, I returned to the smoldering fire to start the day, reinvigorated by this dose of nostalgia I discovered up the hill. This, if you want to know more about Rhodes Motor Lodge, and Rhodes is spelled R-H-O-D-E apostrophe S, Rhodes Motor Lodge in Boone, North Carolina, on Blowing Rock Road, you can check out their website at rhodesmotorlodge.com. And now for a little bit more about motor lodges in North Carolina, a North Carolina Motor Lodge tour. From the coast to the mountains, classic mid-century hotels and motels are enjoying new lives as sleek and shiny destination stays. The Beacon, located in Salter Path, the Beacon is a beachside escape tucked beneath live oaks. Last year, after seeing better days, several rooms of the former Salter Path Inn got a televised refresh on HGTV's 100-Day Hotel Challenge by designer Mika Kleinschmidt and her husband Brian. The couple focused on updating the lobby from the look of a cramped one-desk office to a hip reception area with a curved wood check-in counter and a cozy sitting area, and created a beautiful outdoor lounge with comfy couches, swing seating, hanging basket lights, yellow and white striped umbrellas, and a slatted wood enclosure wall. For more information about the Beacon, check out thebeaconhotelnc.com. It's located on Salter Path Road in Salter Path, North Carolina. Thebeaconhotelnc.com. Then there's Mother Earth Motel Lodge. Sharing its name with Kinston's popular craft brewery, Mother Earth Motel Lodge offers modern conveniences with a mid-century flair. A neon sign welcomes guests to this downtown lodge, originally built in 1963. Back then, travelers came to Kinston to gather at the Tobacco Warehouse nightclubs, where big bands entertained with jazz, rhythm and blues, and funk. Performers often stayed at the Motor Lodge, including James Brown, the godfather of soul. The property features nostalgic mid-century amenities such as a three-ring pool, shuffleboard, and a nine-hole miniature golf course. For more information about this property in Kinston, check out MotherEarthMotorLodge.com. If you're in Raleigh, there's the Longleaf Hotel and Lounge. Sitting at the northern entry to downtown Raleigh, the Longleaf Hotel and Lounge, originally a 1960s travel lodge, once boasted a pool and sported doors that were green, yellow, and tangerine orange. The restored property reopened in 2020 with mid-century details like terrazzo countertops and original breeze block walls, plus a new brass and velvet accents. A sleek lounge features craft cocktails and opens to a tiered patio with a 1960s-style table and tables and chairs. It's located on North Dawson Street in downtown Raleigh, and you can find more information at their website, thelongleafhotel.com. Up in Highlands, North Carolina, there's the Skyline Lodge. At almost 100 years old, the Skyline Lodge in Highlands is not only an example of the staying power of mountain tourism, but also Frank Lloyd Wright's signature style of blurring the lines between nature and architecture. Built in 1929, the original structure was designed by Arthur J. Kelsey, an early friend and protege of Wright. He incorporated long roof lines and fireplaces constructed with native granite. The property was renovated and reopened as a boutique stay in 2021. And they're located on Skyline Lodge Road in Highlands. And if you'd like to check out their website, it's skyline-lodge.com. That's skyline-lodge.com. And then in Maggie Valley, there's Meadowlark Motel. Built in the 1940s at the crossroads of the Blue Ridge Parkway and Smoky Mountains, Meadowlark Motel is one of the state's longest operating motor lodges. Roger and Donna McElroy bought the motel in 1975 and has been run by the family ever since. In 2017, their son Joseph and his wife, Simone, took the reins of day-to-day operations. The family has since added Homecraft, a 7-table restaurant boasting Southern mountain-inspired food with a twist, and the Skylark Speakeasy, an intimate cocktail bar. And they're on Soco Road in Maggie Valley, and their website is meadowlarkmotel.com, meadowlarkmotel.com. And in Brevard, there's the Sunset Motel. This inn dates to 1957, when a new era of vacation spots started popping up in and around Brevard, giving tourists new options beyond boarding houses. The Sunset Motel and similar properties meant freedom to plan your own day and your own meals in your kitchenette or out and about. In 2013, it reopened under new owners with a fresh mid-century feel. Rooms include vintage furniture and appliances, like while the grounds offer a few more classic touches like a fire pit and grill. And that's in South Broad Street in Brevard, and the website is thesunsetmotel.com, thesunsetmotel.com. And wrapping up our statewide motor lodge tour is the Route 19 Inn in Maggie Valley. Get your kicks on Route 19 at this 1948 stay that was one of Maggie Valley's first motels, originally called the Rocky Waters Motel. A 1960s vintage postcard touts the creekside location and its proximity, just an eighth of a mile to the Ghost Town in the Sky amusement park. It reopened in 2020 after a decade of sitting vacant, and now rooms feature retro tables and chairs, updated floors, warm earth-toned woven rugs, and beds with natural wood headboards. That's in Maggie Valley, and the website is Route19Inn.com. That's Route19Inn.com, and N has two N's, like I-N-N, like Route 19 Inn. If you're in Asheville, you might check out the Grove Arcade. When self-made millionaire and tasteless chill tonic inventor E.W. Grove dreamed of the most elegant building in America, the Grove Arcade was born. Opened in 1929, the mall has more than 50 businesses tucked throughout its hallways, from Johnny's Barbershop to Babette's, a New Orleans coffee house. That's on Page Avenue in Asheville. And for more information, check out GroveArcade.com. In 1976, the Grove Arcade became the country's first enclosed mall to be added to the National Register of Historic Places. Then in Blowing Rock, climb aboard at Tweetsie Railroad. Known as Tweetsie for the sharp tweet tweet of its whistle, locomotive number 12 is the last surviving steam locomotive of the East Tennessee and Western North Carolina Railroad and the main attraction of the Tweetsie Railroad theme park in Blowing Rock. In addition to hopping the train for a Wild West adventure, visitors can enjoy amusement rides, see animals in the Deer Park Zoo, catch a live show like the Can-Can Review or Mine for Gems. All aboard! Check out their website at Tweetsea.com in Blowing Rock. Tweetsea.com. If you're in Lexington, dip into the baskets at the Candy Factory. Peppermint puffs, gumdrops, wax lips, and more. At the Candy Factory in Lexington, revisit sweet tooth traditions almost as old as the 100-year-old renovated hardware store itself. With baskets filled with everything from peanut butter logs to homemade fudge, you're sure to find something that hits the spot. This is on North Main Street in Lexington, and their website is lexingtoncandyfactory.com. If you're in Asheboro, swing through time at the 1940s Hangar Dance. As Randolph Jazz Band pumps out big band hits like Pennsylvania 65,000 and Sing, 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 folks dressed in period attire swing dance across the concrete floor of Hangar No. 2 at the North Carolina Aviation Museum and Hall of Fame. The Asheboro nonprofit has been hosting its 1940s Hangar Dance each April for more than 20 years. During World War II, Hangar Dances were a popular form of recreation and a way for soldiers and young women to meet and socialize. Today, several aircraft must be removed from the hangar to accommodate the dance floor. Band, tables, and buffets donated by local restaurant Magnolia 23. But a World War II-era P-51 replica plane is left in the corner because it's too precious to move, says board member Wayne Jacobs. There aren't a whole lot of events in North Carolina where you can go and experience some of the flavor of what the 40s were like. It's fun to go back in time. For more information on this event in Asheboro, check out NC Cam Hoff. So I'm going to just spell that out for you. NC like Charlie, AM like Michael, H like Henry, O, F as in Frank.com. Going back to, So if you're in Raleigh, pick up a bag of stone ground cornmeal at Historic Yates Mill. On weekends from March to November, tour the only fully restored and operational automatic mill in North Carolina. For 200 years after Samuel Pearson built a water-powered grist mill on this property around 1756, the operation was a vital part of Wake County life. Now it's part of a 174-acre park, and it beats a trip to the grocery store any day. It's located on Lake Wheeler Road in Raleigh, and you can look up their website at yatesmill.org. Yatesmill.org. In Wake County, a little tidbit here, in Wake County, 70 small grist mills once powered the industry. Today, only Yates Mill is still active. And let's see, join happy campers at the Tryon Airstream Rally. For a reminder of old-fashioned family camping trips and a celebration of the shiny silver campers that never go out of style, watch an Airstream parade in downtown Tryon, attend a community campfire, and then tour 20 or so of the famous cruisers at an open house featuring models ranging from the 1970s to today. And let's see, the next one. Sorry about that. I've already read you a couple of these, and I had to take them out of order here, so apologies. The next one is beach biking at Carolina Beach. Go for a spin on a beach cruiser. As beloved as the boardwalk, a breezy bike ride has long been a favorite beach tradition. Stop by Tony Silvagni's Surf School in Carolina Beach to rent a classic cruiser or a new electric bike. We won't tell. Silvagni recommends pedaling down the 1.2-mile Island Greenway, but for a longer trip, you can continue another 1.3 miles to meet Carolina Beach State Park. And for more information on those rentals, check out surfschoolnc.com. If you happen to be in Hendersonville, pull the lever at Appalachian Pinball Museum. Return to the whimsical, childhood feeling of praying that your ball stays in play at this Hendersonville arcade, which features about 85 vintage and contemporary pinball machines and video games. They're located on North Main Street in Hendersonville, North Carolina. And they have a Facebook page. If you're in Facebook, do a search for Pinball Players, and you'll find their Facebook page. If you happen to be in Wilmington, here's an experience for you. Drift on a riverboat. When the Henrietta cruises through the glistening waters of the Cape Fear River, it follows in the wake of dozens of steamboats that once plied these same waters throughout the 19th century. The Henrietta relies on modern power rather than coal, and downtown Wilmington's skyline has changed a bit over the centuries, but the sights and sounds on the water remain largely the same, though perhaps a bit quieter than during the Industrial Revolution. Take a narrated tour and watch the sunset as you coast along the Wilmington Riverside on the Henrietta. For more information about this experience, check out CapeFearRiverBoats.com. CapeFearRiverBoats.com. Some of you may remember when you could go to a drive-in movie theater, watch a movie under the stars. Grab some candy and a bucket of popcorn from the snack stand, cozy up in your car, and settle in for a double feature at the Baden Road Drive-In in Albemarle, the Raleigh Road Outdoor Theater in Henderson, or at a handful of other drive-ins across the state. At the pastime's peak of popularity in the mid-20th century, North Carolina was home to 200 drive-in theaters. Today, our last few carry on a nostalgic tradition. This next article is one from the one of the regular columns, and it's entitled From Murphy to Manio, Finding New Adventures, Historic Detours in the Soul of North Carolina on the State's Longest Highway, U.S. Route 64. And this one is Hiddenite, What's Mined is Yours. A day trip to Hiddenite has great prospects, whether you're digging, creeking, sluicing, or all three, you could uncover some of our state's buried treasure. At the bottom of a big hole in the middle of the woods of the foothills of Brushy Mountains, the only sounds are the scrape crunch of a steel shovel and the muffled thump of soil and rocks hitting the ground. Suddenly, a sparkling glint flashes, catching my eye in the mass of red dirt. There, I yell, and Alex freezes. He leans down, sifting through to find the shine, and then places it on the center of his flattened palm. Quartz, its edge coated with glittery mica. Finally, Alex says, I think we're in the right place. I should clarify a few things. It's not my shovel doing the digging. It's my husband's. I don't even have a shovel. I'm monitoring the situation. And number two, this hole is deeper than I am tall. And it was here before we trekked through these woods surrounded by dozens, maybe hundreds of other holes of various sizes and depths. Number three, we have a permit to be here. That is to say that all this excavating is perfectly legal, encouraged even. I'll come back to that, because despite the fact that my only job is to stand here and hope, I've wondered several times over the past hour of fruitless digging if we should just give up. But this shard of quartz and mica is a little nudge from the earth to keep going. What if? One more strategic scoop and clang. The shovel scrapes against something even more solid than the tight-packed dirt, and several more chunks tumble out. Even though they're largely concealed between layers of clay, there's no mistaking their shine. Now we know we're definitely in the right place. We've hit upon a vein of quartz and mica, and the high heat that was required to form these minerals millions of years ago indicates that, at least in this particular part of North Carolina, an even more tantalizing possibility may lie hidden in the dirt. Emeralds. A rolling drive along U.S. 64 in Alexander County brought us here to Hiddenite. We've come to test our luck at Emerald Hollow Mine, which opened in 1986 and is the only emerald mine in the world where the public can prospect. Emerald Hollow is a mecca for many rock hounds who flock there for the chance to uncover more than 60 types of naturally occurring gems and minerals. They come to look for rare emeralds, sapphires, and yes, hiddenite, the mineral whose 1879 discovery nearby is credited to mineralogist William Earl Hidden in one of the most unique geological areas of North America. Until recently, North Carolina was the only state where emeralds had been discovered, and North America's only significant emerald deposits are found in Alexander, Mitchell, and Cleveland counties. In fact, the largest cup emerald on the continent was found on an Alexander County farm just 16 years ago. The location was fitting considering it was in the same county back in 1875 that J.A.D. Stevenson, a self-taught mineralogist, first realized that the green rocks that farmers were finding in fields were actually gems. You can now see the massive 64.83-carat Carolina Emperor at the North Carolina Museum of Natural Sciences in Raleigh. And while Alex and I aren't foolish enough to think we'll stumble across a gem that spectacular, it is easy to get sucked into the what-if of it all. Back in our hole, Alex scoops up the quartz and mica as well as the surrounding dirt, filling 2 5-gallon buckets. We don't know if they contain any gemstones, but we do know that the vein of mica and quartz we've exposed indicates potential conditions for gems like emeralds to have formed as well. Now we'll scoop the contents of our buckets into a sluice and hope some more. There's no doubt Alex and I are amateurs when it comes to rocks and minerals. We grew up looking for shark teeth on our coast, a hobby that similarly demands a sharp eye and also a strong back. But compared to the labor of prospecting, fossils seem like easy pickings. I share this observation as Alex hauls our now 50-pound dirt buckets and stops to wipe his brow. "Phew," he says, eyeing my pristine clothes and blister-free hands. But nobody stays clean at the sluice, which is half the fun. We use spades to scoop our dirt into screens, which we shake as the water rushes past, feeling like kids on a treasure hunt. Many who come to Emerald Hollow bypass the holes in the creek just to sift through buckets of salted dirt at the sluice. And even without buckets that are guaranteed to be filled with gemstones, I can see why. With each screenful, as the red dirt washes away, there's a moment when I'm convinced that something magnificent and sparkling and green will be revealed. But alas, just ordinary rocks, mostly. We brush at them cluelessly, thankful for the knowledgeable staff at Emerald Hollow who, with a quick glance, tell us what we've found, which in the end does not include emeralds or sapphires or hiddenite. Still, our chunks of quartz flecked with mica sparkle and shine even more brightly now. It's not the mineral we hoped for, but it's a treasure formed and found in North Carolina's soil nonetheless, and a reminder of the real thrill, the what if. A reminder that whether we're searching for fossilized shark teeth on the shore or rare gemstones in the foothills, our state glimmers with possibilities. The Emerald Hollow Mine is located on Emerald Hollow Mine Drive in Hiddenite, North Carolina, and you can find more information about them at emeraldhollowmine.com. emeraldhollowmine.com. There's also, if you go to ourstate.com/precious-stones, you can read the guide that they have there to 7 different gemstones you can find in North Carolina. Well, that sound means that we are out of time for today's episode of Our State Magazine. I hope you've enjoyed it and that you'll be sure to listen next time. I'm Martha Potter, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's reading of Our State Magazine is underwritten by Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired, and this broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. For questions or comments, please call us at 919-832-5138. So long till next time.